All right, and welcome to another Beer for Breakfast podcast. My name is Jason Mahoney. Joining me today in our brand new Beer for Breakfast podcast studio, the inaugural run, the christening. I feel like we should have a bottle of champagne and we should just hit it against this desk.
This is your ship.
Just and see what happens.
Christening the ship.
That's exactly what we should do.
Blessing the ship? Or?
Blessing, christening, all of that. We're sending this ship out to sea.
Where it belongs.
But we've got a brand new podcast studio, and Pam is back for another Beer for Breakfast podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Pam.
It's good to be here.
And I feel like since you are back here, we should be doing a special beer to kick off Beer for Breakfast.
I would like that very much.
We've brought out the Bravo Vintage 2017. It's a Imperial Brown Ale from Firestone Walker, and we also have the 2018 Vintage of Tsukaba, also from Firestone Walker.
I feel like when beer comes in a box, if any liquor comes in a box,
it's fancy.
It's fancy.
Oh, we fancy.
We fancy now. But really, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, ooh, what's inside?
We're going to keep our pinkies out when we drink this. So without further ado, let's get into the Firestone Walker. Which one do you want to do first? I think probably, you think the brown?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a Bravo ever.
I haven't either.
So I'm not really sure what the Firestone, you know, one of their anniversary series, what it's all about. But the Bravo was given to me. I think Robert over at Top Shelf is the one who hooked me up with this a year or so ago. But this has been sitting in the fridge in the garage for some time. And I figured today would be a special occasion. So why not? Let's just start this thing off with a beer that has 13.2%. alcohol by volume.
Bravo. So bravo.
Oh my God. we're just gonna ease into it. So pour yourself that while you're pouring our beers.
Yep.
I will read the back of what the Bravo Imperial Brown Ale is all about. Since founding our brewery in 1996, we have specialized in the rare art of fermenting beer in oak barrels. In the fall of 2006, we embarked on a program to barrel age a series of vintage strong ales that would later be used as components of a blended beer. That blend would become our first anniversary ale number 10. After the release 10, we released limited amounts of the component beers on draft only. Many of these beers gained a cult following that we craft beer fans raved about and begged us to put in a bottle. Bravo was born of these beers. We proudly present the 2017 vintage of Bravo, our Imperial Brown Ale aged in retired American oak bourbon barrels. Although Bravo was the first strong ale brewed for our anniversary ale blending program over 10 years ago, it has yet to see its own bottled release. That is until now, balancing rich, toasty, and chocolate malt flavors with a gentle balance of noble hops, Bravo is brewed to showcase barrel flavors with a massive bourbon barrel notes that morph as the beer warms in its glass. The ideal aging temperature is 45 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what I have my fridge set to out there because it won't go any colder.
I'd like to also point out that your reading skills are very good.
Well, thank you.
Also, to keep it classy, I did just have the first spill.
Oh,
in the new studio. But I wiped it up with my hand, and instead of waiting to smell the aroma in the glass, I just smelled my hand.
Smelled your hand. Why not?
Smells good.
So this is why we haven't had the Bravo before, because it's still relatively new. All things considered, we're 1 year behind when it comes to the Firestone anniversary series. Man, but I am getting big notes already.
Right?
Like, I mean, this thing's, you know, it's an arm's length. The glass is an arm's length away, and I mean, the aroma is already filling the studio. I mean, that it could also be because you spilled it, but it could also be because it's a very potent nose that we're going to be dealing with here.
Let's get into
Cheers.
It. Cheers. Oh yeah.
I mean, it smells.
It's boozy. I can smell it.
Very. I mean, the bourbon. They're not lying when they say that that is a very present.
Well, they're retired barrels. You know, they've been laying around.
I mean,
playing golf.
You know, it's. I'm glad that they're getting put to use. You know, it's like they could be greeting us at Walmart.
they're stopping that. Did you see?
What?
They're stopping greeters.
Why?
I don't know, but I read that the other day. They're stopping greeters at Walmart.
Where are the old people gonna go?
I don't know. They just probably want them to shop there instead of just standing around.
Everything that's good comes to an end.
Amen.
You know, that's what we can, you know. Oh,
like
my
this,
God. Are you looking at how gritty this particular beer is?
It literally, you can see
It looks like there's a, like somebody took a wood chipper in there.
But it's just sitting there. Like it's not.
It's sediment. Yeah.
It's sediment, but there's still some, I mean, not a lot of carbonation on this whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Whatsoever. But
we didn't get any head. Do you think this may be turned? This is getting turned in a year?
No.
Year and a half already? No. I just drank some 6-year-old Parabola over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it hadn't turned yet.
I got my dad a Parabola for his stocking this year.
Yeah.
My stepdad. And he just dabbled into craft beer not too long ago.
Okay.
He calls me up the other day. He goes, oh my God, life changer. Delicious.
I mean, it's probably my favorite. I don't know if it's considered one of your favorites, but Parabola is my probably. If I had one beer left to drink for eternity, it would be Parabola.
Oh my God. That's a bold statement.
I mean, it's the one that I spent, you know, hours and hours and days traveling around the city
right.
to go procure as many bottles as I possibly could.
You went Parabola hunting.
Yeah, I did. I got like 5 cases of it and I'm down to about a case left. So
really?
I've got about 6 or so of the 2014s
oh, wow.
sitting there as well. And I hadn't drank one in like 2 or 3 years. And so I busted it open over the weekend. And if you missed the live Beer for Breakfast podcast, which happened for the first time over at Top Golf, we were a little unsure. And I was, you know, it was I was a little unsure because you weren't there. And I was drinking with people who enjoy craft beer, but
sure.
they're not. I wouldn't say they are the
An addict.
They're not the aficionado that you are, or the connoisseur that you tend to be. But it ended up going over pretty well with everybody.
It sounded great to listen to it.
You know, so I thought it was pretty good, pretty tasty. But let's get into this.
Ooh. Oh.
Damn.
It's like a...
It smells boozy.
It doesn't give you that bite on your tongue.
No,
How is this a brown? I mean, I get it's an imperial.
It's imperial brown, but I mean, I get that. I think this drink's just slightly smoother than...
It's a little sweet.
It is sweeter. It is sweeter than what we were dealing with the Parabola. But this is phenomenal. Wow.
I actually...
Because I'm starting, like, as we're sitting here and as, you know, the other notes are kind of, like, coming and making themselves aware on my tongue, big malts. Like, I mean, really, really malty that kind of lingers there. But, like, man, as far as the booze goes, you get it in the initial rush. But, I mean, you get the bourbon, but it's not like a boozy bourbon.
Well, I think when you get those, like, imperial barrel-aged stouts, too,
yeah.
that just kind of, it's such a thicker taste
yeah.
in your mouth. And
yes.
this is a much smoother swallow,
this
lack of a better
is
word.
As easy to drink as a Newcastle.
Oh.
I mean, like, if you're talking brown ales, like, this is, or a Sam Smith's oatmeal stout, which
right.
are, you know, the two of the oldest brown ales in the world, this thing, wow. I mean, I don't, like, it's thicker than that, but it's just as easy to drink. And,
right.
And that flavor is just lingering on my tongue.
So, brown ales, I've been kind of dabbling with a little bit more. Just,
okay.
like, you know, when I see them out and about, you know, if it's a Newcastle or whatever, I've had that, been there, done that. But
billion
if I see
times.
Something... You know, especially like if I'm traveling and I see a local brewery has a brown ale, I always try it because I think I think
it's an underrated style.
It is.
You know, I think it's a good style. Like one of my other favorite beers just to drink and dabble in, which we don't see very often here in Las Vegas anymore, is the Brooklyn Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it in a store in a long time.
Brooklyn Bowl, I don't know if they still pour it.
Brooklyn Bowl was one of the only places that still had it left. And, you know, I thought it just never got the fair shake that it deserves.
Delicious.
You know, everybody, it came out around the time, you know, IPAs still as hot as ever, but it hit Las Vegas at, I think, at a weird time
yeah.
for it to become a beer to, like, even the brand as a whole really hasn't.
Well, I think for so many people that aren't familiar with the brand or aren't from the East Coast or
yeah.
whatever, thought that was just Brooklyn Bowl's beer.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, no, they have a whole...
And the thing is, I think they do a stunning job with all of their beers. I love their Pilsner. I love their Lager.
Yep.
I love the Brown. The Brown was probably my favorite
yep.
out of all of them. And none of them were like, they weren't showy. They were just done right.
Yeah.
Just good beer.
Also, and I brought this up to you earlier, brown ales
mm-hmm.
and brown style beer is, in general, great to cook with. Great to cook with.
What would you cook with a little bit of this Bravo?
Well, I wouldn't. I would just drink it.
You're like, I don't know if I want to waste this beer. It's like the cooking wine. You want
no,
you
no. more of a session. What? More of a session brown to go with that. You know, it's like when you're cooking with wine, they always say, you know, you're not going to use the whole bottle, so
yeah.
drink what you would have left over. And I'm thinking like, I always feel bad, like, with putting good wine in food, but, you know, it does make a difference. But anyway, so yeah, so I cranked out some barbecue sauce with Tenaya Creek's brown ale.
Yeah.
And I did a steak sauce.
Oh, damn.
Pain in the ass. The steak sauce, pain in the ass. Barbecue sauce, slight pain in the ass because I made my own ketchup.
You made your own ketchup as well?
Yeah, to put in the barbecue sauce.
How did it turn out?
Dope.
What barbecue would you, is this more of a brisket based barbecue sauce?
Yeah, it's not like a vinegary one. It's not like a Carolina.
Like
one.
you want to throw this on some like pulled pork or
yeah, I put it on some chicken. It was
some
good.
Some pulled chicken.
Yeah, ooh. I do like a pulled chicken.
Pulled chicken.
Not enough pulled chicken.
There's really not.
They make you work for it.
They do.
Why don't they pull the pork for you, but not the chicken?
Couple places do.
Really?
Not a whole lot here in Las Vegas, but around the South, I've come across quite a bit of pulled chicken in my time.
Well, they care about your chicken. They care about your
they
barbecue.
Do. They are barbecue aficionados. Looking at the bottle again for the Bravo, I mean, this 28 IBUs, what is it? It says it's the color of brown sugar. What yeast did they use on this? They used the British ale yeast. And they only produced 4,000 cases of the Bravo. Man, again, trying a new Firestone Anniversary Ale for the first time, and this thing just impresses the hell out of me.
I get a real raisiny taste.
Let me take another.
Try that.
Let's just take another pull of the Bravo Vintage
beer.
Imperial Brown. I can't even think of who else makes an Imperial Brown right off the top of my head.
I don't know.
Nobody. Maybe as a special limited release, but I just can't think of anything right there.
I just drank a lot of that. It was really good. Mm. You get the raisiny kind of?
That sweetness. And I think that's like a raisiny sweetness.
Yeah.
It's hitting all parts of my tongue.
Yeah,
it's like I'm getting the sweet. It's savory too.
But I get
to
the,
an extent.
I get the boozy feel in my
the
in
warmness.
My tummy.
Yeah, but
my tummy.
But as far as again, I almost want to like come back to this particular beer
when it's a little warmer.
I want to let this sit. Do you want to let this sit for a minute? Let's go. Let's take a quick little pause. We'll go get some more glasses, and we'll let this sit, and we'll revisit this in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And through the magic of editing, we are now back here in the Beer for Breakfast studios. We've got fresh glasses in front of us. We probably could have came prepared with more glasses, but you know what? I like playing it as we go. So we've got...
That's the beauty of the studio.
It is the beauty of the studio.
Okay. We do what we want.
We do what we want. And anything goes here in the new Beer for Breakfast podcast studios, which, like I said, the initial christening. And what better way to do it than with one of our absolute favorite brands, Firestone Walker. I mean, their limited release series are something of legend, I would say.
I was in L.A. not too long ago. Well, it was a couple months ago, maybe more, to see that Beastie Boys book. Thing, which mm-hmm. was unbelievable.
Unreal.
Awesome. Unreal. I'm like, you know, yards away from Ad Rock and Mike D. I'm just freaking out. It was actually funny. You know, it's like a book tour, you know, they're talking about the Beastie Boys book, which if you haven't got it, it's a must. If you're even the slightest fan of the Beastie Boys, it's awesome. It's like, it's just the whole story of the band, of pictures, and it's rad.
I miss the Beastie Boys so much, man.
I can't even.
I can't.
I cannot even. Anyway, so while we were there, we're staying in Venice, and we went to the Firestone Walker location in L.A., in Venice there. It was awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Best French onion soup I ever had in my life.
Oh, I can only imagine.
They make it with their beer. Unbelievable. And the beers, I mean, they have, basically when they came, they said, you know, can I help you? Can I guide you? And I said, what can you only get in this building?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, right here. And there's about 20 beers.
Oh, damn.
And so we ended up talking to the brewer there. And they use that LA location as kind of an R&D type place. So some of the more like out there ideas, they try them out there.
I love that.
And if they hit, then they move it onto their, you know, to their main location. But it was awesome. It was awesome. We were like, oh, we got to go, man. We got to get going. And it's like, let's have one more. Let's just have one more.
I mean, when's the next time you're going to be back there? You know, I mean, who knows if any of these beers are still going to be on tap.
Exactly.
Was it more everything like it was experimental stuff was on tap for the most part. Everything was on tap.
Yes. And then they had, you know, super, you know, barrel aged stuff, you know, rare stuff that have, cause it's not a huge location. I mean, they're certainly brewing there, but they have, it's almost like two buildings. One is just all retail
mm-hmm.
that has, you know, all the beers that you can buy by the bottle or by the case or by whatever you want. and then the restaurant side, which has just this big, huge, awesome horseshoe bar, nicest bartenders, super cool. I actually brought some Tenaya Creek beers with me, and I just gave it to the bartender. I was like, here, some beers from Vegas. And they were like, cool. And then that's how you do it, man. And then all of a sudden the brewer comes over and we're talking and we're drinking beers. Paid for everything.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing I love about craft beer in general, too. You know, it's
the
like
community.
The community. And that's what I think sets it apart from, you know, the wine world.
Yeah.
And things of that. You know, we've got the people in the beer world, the craft beer bros and stuff like that. The guys who, you know, who are in it for the wrong reasons, who aren't, you know.
Who would never in a million years crack a natural light at a lake.
Yeah.
You know, like, would be like, I'd rather not drink. I'd be like, bring it over here. I'll take.
You know, where I think the thing with craft beer, the bonding that has just come around and the camaraderie and things like that. And, you know, you go into these tasting rooms and you just meet people that you never would meet anywhere else in your life.
Well,
and
that's
you have an immediate interest that you all share and love.
Even when you're not just traveling, but like when you move somewhere.
Yeah.
My brother moved from the East Coast he moved from Brooklyn to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I didn't know anybody. You know, he's like, I just knew the people I was going to work with and you don't want to hang out with them all the time.
Yeah.
So he's like, I just started going to breweries, and he's like, and I made great friends, ended up like renting a room from a bunch of these beer dudes who were just super chill, and they all started home brewing, and it's like, it just morphs into this whole thing, and it's just, I love it. It's awesome. So yeah, tip to the wise, bring a local beer with you if you're going to a brewery in another
city. I love that idea.
Yeah.
It's just a gesture of goodwill, even if you get nothing back in return.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because
you want to, especially like with a brand like Tenaya, which is near and dear to your heart and mine as well, you know, you want to share the goodness that is this beer with other people.
And knowing that if they ever come to Vegas, they'll visit that.
Yeah.
Which happens all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
If you're in LA, you're coming to Vegas.
That's true.
A couple times a year.
That's true.
Without a doubt. But you know, the brewery might or the tap room might not have been on the radar or things of that nature, you know. So, you know, opening up other people to new experiences, especially here in Las Vegas, which, you know, obviously near and dear to us and that we love dearly and want people to experience, you know, our city and the great people and the great beer that are all within this community.
Totally.
Let's crack open the Sukaba. While we do this, I will read the back of the 2018 Sukaba. So the Sukaba. After taking a year off, Sukaba returns for a curtain call in 2018. As always, this latest vintage delivers big boozy bourbon and American oak aromas combined with soft chocolate malt undertones. Complex malt flavors are framed in oak with hints of dark chocolate, vanilla, toasted coconut, and a touch of dark cherry. Sukaba is a one of a kind sipping experience. It is a beer built to last and one that will reward careful cellaring for years to come. We highly recommend counting these years on an abacus, cellar in a cool, dark place between 45 and 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So, all right, you got the bottle there. What do we got to say? So how many cases did they produce? 7,300 cases of the Sukaba for 2018. You're looking at about 31 IBUs, and we're kicking it down a notch when it comes to the alcohol. So we're going way down from the Bravo's 13.2 to Sukaba's 12.5.
So this is
like one of those like mid-inning beers, you know,
right.
The bridging beers to get us through that. So let's take a look at this.
A little darker than the Bravo.
Yeah,
I think
it's more. Yeah,
oh, for sure.
It is darker when you hold it up against it. You can't see nearly as many floating particles in this particular beer. I don't know if it is because it's the darkness, but even when holding up to a light, I don't see a ton of stuff. Floating around in there.
It's definitely not a clear beer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's not a very filtered beer. But it's very interesting. This is a first for us to be able to compare beers next to each other.
We always finish it. Yeah, we always do that. And I don't know why this is the first time. Like I said, new studio, new you. Yeah, that's right. It's a new year. You know, we're 3 months in, whatever. It's all good.
We've never done it because we don't have any self-control whatsoever.
That's right. But we got a lot of beers that we are dealing with today, and the 2018 Sukaba Barley Age Wine. Let's take a, you know, dark. I'm getting dark fruit.
A lot less, even though very similar in ABV. A lot less of that that boozy smell.
Oh, the bourbon doesn't come through nearly as much as it does on the Imperial Brown, but you can still get a little bit of in there.
And you do smell the chocolate that they're talking about.
All right. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
And let's take a drink of the Firestone Walker Tsukaba Barley Wine Ale.
That's a tasty beer.
And it's boozier on, I mean, maybe because it's a little bit newer, but it is boozier on the finish.
I agree.
Yeah, than the Bravo is.
Yeah, the Bravo has a more sweetness, which is interesting because barley wines tend to feel very sweet to
me. You would think so, yeah.
But this doesn't have, like, barley wines for me are hit or miss. I mean, I'm not going to kick one out of bed, okay? But,
you know, there's good ones and there's bad ones.
Yeah, and I just think
they all get the job done. Some better than others. Some are more enjoyable than others.
Truth be told. Anyway, some of them you let spend the night and some of them you don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I digress. But I think that sometimes barley wines can have that thickness to them that you're like one and done. Yeah, you know,
this is thin.
This is,
I mean, not thin, but thin for a barley wine.
Exactly. It doesn't have that like kind of lick your lips type of thing. It's more of a, it's a smoother mouthfeel for sure.
I mean, all these beers, I mean, from Firestone, very easy to drink. I mean, that I think that's one of the things they focus on the limited releases that they do. This is you get the sweetness, you get the booze on the finish.
Yeah,
you get you taste that dark cherry in there. A little bit of, I'm curious to see if that vanilla, I'm not getting a whole lot of it right now. Curious if that's going to make an appearance as it starts to warm up a little bit more.
I'm feeling it
a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should take another drink. just to see what. See what they're talking about.
Yeah, I do get it. I do get it. It tastes like this tastes like if beer could be a candy bar, I would like this.
Yeah, it's there, but there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. There is. And
it's good.
That toastiness too. That did they mention notes of coconut? Because it tastes like that.
They did mention notes of coconut. This isn't nearly as malty as the Imperial Brown, but I mean, flavor-wise, God, these are all just good beers.
Yeah, again, not a lot
These are all like 4.5, like 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, for sure.
Beers. I mean, like,
they come in a box.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
You're fancy, you know? I mean, like, the wine in a box, you know you're fancy. Beer in a box, even fancier.
So my wine in the box moment that just pissed me off more than anything, this was back east, and I used to, the place I used to get my hair done there, I mean, you're out the door $2.50, okay?
What?
Yeah.
$2.50?
$200.
What could you possibly be doing to your hair that costs $250?
Well, there's a lot.
That's a car payment, man.
There's a lot going on. Anyway, but so they always offer you wine, you know, when you're in there.
Oh, so that's where the $250's going.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay, so not really. So I'm sitting there in this one chair, and it's like the different chair than I usually sit in. And I see the assistant go back to get the wine that I said, sure, of course, I'd like some wine.
Of course.
$2.50. I'll give me a carafe, motherfucker. But anyway, and I see her open the fridge and poured it out of a box.
Was it Franzia?
No, it wasn't, but it was a boxed wine. And this was before they actually had sort of decent wines sometimes in a box.
I think they've stepped up the box wine game.
Big time. I mean, we're talking this like 15 years ago. And I was like, you son of a bitch. I'm paying you $250 for my hair and you're giving me shitty wine? Like, fuck you. I was so mad. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, this is good stuff
this
in a box.
This is much better than that. I mean, if you were getting a $250 hairdo today, you would hope that they would come to you with a Tsukaba or a Bravo. And you would be like, yeah, thank you very much. That's the thing. I don't know. I don't like the kind of like their barbershops or their hair places that are specifically for guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's then like the sports and they offer you whiskey. And
they offer beer and it's always like, it's like they're wearing like low cut shirts.
Yeah.
It just feels like, why am I in the Hooters? Like, why am I in a Hooters getting my hair cut?
You're male Hooters.
Like, this is not, like, I don't need all of this to get a haircut.
Right.
Like, let's just get it in. Like, can we just get it in? We don't have to talk. You can just cut my hair and we can move on. Like, luckily, I've been lucky that my old roommate is now my hairdresser.
He's, there you go.
You know, but before that, I spent years just trying to find somebody who was like let's. I don't want to have to talk for like 4 hours. Let's just get in, get done. And
in fact, I don't want to talk at all. I just want to just look on my phone and play Candy Crush, which I'm still playing.
How are you still playing that?
God, listen, don't
it's
even.
It's 2019, Pam.
I know, but it's like I can't stop because I'm so advanced in it right now.
I mean, how are you not at the end?
I don't think there is an end.
There's not an end?
No, I don't think there is.
Does it not? I remember like back in the day when I was playing Candy Crush like 7 years ago that there was an end.
I guarantee you I've spent at least $400
on Oh, I think Dave probably has you beat. You know, Dave said
I know he went through a serious phase with the Candy Crush.
Yeah, he just played Candy Crush on his trip back from Chicago for 4 hours because they had no Wi-Fi on his flight.
I'm going to text him because I guarantee he's back.
Oh, no.
He's back on the crack because you can't stop. I'm on level like 1100 or something like that. Like it's out of control.
Jesus, Pam.
I know. But it's like I try a new game and everything sucks. And I just go back to my tried and true.
Maybe I should load a game onto my smartphone because I have none.
There's, you never have had a game on your
phone? No, I have in years past. So I had that like little weird yo-yo game with like the little green guys who ate stuff.
I don't remember.
I don't know. That one was popular like 10 years ago.
I like the one where the guy runs through the jungle and you have to jump over stuff.
Never played that.
Well, I'll put that one on your phone. You're
but I had Angry Birds. Actually, you know what? I lied. I have Angry Birds 2.
I still play that too.
On my phone. I think I booked that for a flight, but I don't go to the game. So it's like I always end up going to social media.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is just, I think I've curated my Instagram to a point where it's pretty damn good right now.
That's good.
Where it's either all beers, bourbons, or dogs.
No friends?
The friends are in there, but I would say I'm following about 650 accounts.
Yeah.
And I would say friends probably make up 100, maybe.
Oh, I made the cut.
Yeah. So like, and maybe even friends like 50, and then there's like 50 like work acquaintances that you kind of feel obligated into following.
And then there's like the 10 that you despise, but you're like you hated them in high school, but you look at them and you go,
no. I've got like my high school best friend.
Yeah.
I'm friends with on there and that's it. I've separated. It's like church and state for me, man. Like the high school is Facebook like that. Yeah. And like my secondary account.
Yeah.
You know, my non-work account. Right. Like, but like I don't have. So she's the only one, you know, I even see on Instagram at all.
Right. Interesting.
Which is good because I feel like I miss out on all the garbage political talk and, you know, all the drama that comes along. Like you really have to be trying hard to put drama on Instagram.
That's very true. That's very true. Except when you get, these are the people I can't stand. When people get injured or have like surgery and then they take pictures of their incisions and stuff like that.
No. That's not an Instagram post.
No, I don't want to see it.
No.
I don't want to know about it. If I know you, I'll come help you out with everything you need, but I don't need to see your gnarly ass.
Instagram is supposed to be the highlight reel, man.
The highlight
reel. This is the highlight reel. This is the best things that are going on in your life.
They don't make filters for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That is what we should be dealing with. No surgery scars. Please don't take a picture of you next to your sick relative in the hospital as well. That is just morbid. I don't know what is going on. Like, and I feel for you because I know you're going through something. But man, keep that on Facebook. Don't put that on Instagram.
Keep that off.
Well, yes,
everything.
I agree. Keep it off everything. But if you are going to put it in some place, bury it there.
Because if you want someone to screenshot what you're posting, it ain't that.
Yeah.
And then sending it to everyone, going, "What the fuck is this?
What is the matter with this person? What are you doing? Stop that! Do not put your business like that out on Facebook. Like I don't want to know if you're going through a breakup. Instagram.
Oh, no.
Like, I shouldn't know these things. Like, if I only kind of know you, I shouldn't know that you're going through a breakup.
Also, keep your inspirational quotes to yourself.
Yeah, totally.
I only want funny shit or awesome shit.
Memes. Funny memes?
I'm down with those.
Cool.
Inspirational, like, follow your dreams in your heart and you'll accomplish that.
Shut up. One of the favorite things that we do on the show that we just started doing a couple weeks ago as wise words from the web, which we take these idiots who are on social media who think that they are an inspiration to everyone else and play their dumb ramblings back. Like, again, you know, we are dumb and we are rambling as well, but we're not trying to, like I feel like those people are just trying to convince themselves.
Yes, 1,000%. Like, I'm doing good. Look at me.
Yes.
You can be just
I'm
like me.
I'm so positive.
I'm so positive.
Or are we just so jaded that we are beyond redemption? Are we the frog that has cooked itself in the pot? Like, we are that far. Like, we're going to hell, but it's already so warm we don't even notice anymore.
You're used to the temp.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But the best is, this is so morbidly evil for me to say, but the best is when...
What was that? Oh, that was apparently there's an update on my computer.
So is when they have the inspirational quotes, and then there's one dark one like I'm my life is so monotonous, I'm having a horrible day. And you're like, aha,
mm-hmm.
Not so positive.
That's right.
Crying in your bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Cheers.
We will drink we will if we had some tea, we would drink that.
With our pinkies out.
Hmm.
I just nailed that one. Sorry. It was delightful.
Oh, man.
I mean, that is like legit. If you have an extra couple bucks and you want to spend it on some good beer.
You can never go wrong with an anniversary ale from Firestone Walker.
Never. I mean, no matter what it is and which one it is. I mean, really, you could close your eyes, point, and pick one of the boxes up, and you'll be happy.
And I've done a pretty good job. Like I said, I haven't had a garage fridge. You know, yeah. For cellaring for the last 6 years,
right.
That I've had all these parabolas. So I kept them in like a dark closet that, you know, that doesn't get sunlight and,
right.
You know, but like here in Las Vegas, it does get warm. I mean, you know, there was a chance that they could have gone, they could have turned or things of that nature. They didn't.
Right.
You know, like I said, tried it out. They didn't turn. And, you know, I've been keeping them in the fridge for the last couple of years. And it's not like let me tell you about the garage fridge.
Please do.
I'm not one of these fancy sons of bitches who bought a secondary fridge for their garage.
No, I would venture to say that fridge malfunctioned.
Yes, it did. And it was still under warranty.
Beautiful.
And they would not, they didn't want to take it back.
That's bullshit.
They didn't. Well, they gave me money. They gave me like $2,000
to get a new brand,
the fridge I have in my kitchen right now. So they gave me $2,000 and I got to keep this fridge.
Perfect.
I was like, because they couldn't order a part for it or something that didn't exist.
Joke's on you, suckers.
And so the best part about it, it only goes down to like 45 degrees.
So it's perfect beer
fridge. Which is perfect for beer fridge. You know, I don't keep raw meats and eggs and poultry in there, you know. But
thank you.
But it is strictly for, it's like the best cellaring fridge ever because it only gets down to that temperature. And then the freezer still works completely. So that's how I came about having a garage fridge. I ain't bougie.
I like it. You know our friend Mike Gaddy.
Yes.
So we were over at his house, and I walked. Sorry, my bracelet keeps in the thing. I walked by a closet, like towards, like under the stair storage. You don't see a lot of here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, very rarely.
It's so smart. Yeah. Everyone should have it.
It's the best.
But
all over in Texas.
All over Virginia.
Yeah, Texas everywhere.
And that's like growing up. That's like your cubbyhole, your hideout. I mean, they just don't have that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I walked by this closet that's underneath his stairs and going into the kitchen, and it's like humming. I'm like, what the hell? What's in your closet? So you got a dead body in there or something? He goes, no, but it is refrigerated. He opens it up. He has like two giant air conditioning units just blasting wall to wall beers. I mean, it's like made his own beer fridge out of multiple freestanding
air conditioners. His own walk-in. Yeah.
He made his own walk-in. I was like, that's commitment, Gaddy.
Yeah,
for sure. So that was pretty good.
I mean, that is taking it to another level. Is he married?
No, he's got a serious girlfriend. She's awesome.
Okay, because I'm like trying to convince, trying to run through how you have that conversation with your significant other on how do I get two freestanding air conditioning units under the stairs to have my own walk-in cooler.
I think she probably just, she knew what she was getting into.
Yeah.
That's a battle you're just not going to fight.
You're like, okay, you know, there's other hills to die on.
Right.
We can go from there. All right, I'm going to finish this. What do you think we should do next? Should we go back and do you think the Bravo has been adequately warmed?
I do.
Been about another 20 minutes since we've been there. So let me, I'm not going to kill that Tsukabe just yet. I'll let that one warm up a little bit.
That's one of us. Sorry.
One of,
It's been a while, man.
You put a hurting on it. So let's go back to the Bravo Imperial Brown.
Okay, the nose developed big time.
Oh, yeah. Now it smells definitely more like a brown, though.
And less boozy.
Yes.
Big time. Because it doesn't have that initial alcohol, you know, kind of like zing.
Cutting through, yeah. And it's very, very mild nose. I'm just like trying not to do a line of this.
I feel like you're hyperventilating into your beer.
I'm trying to. Definitely, you know, there's definitely that like a little bit of molasses sweetness that has developed and is sneaking through in there as well.
I think when you taste it with the Tsukaba still on your palate.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say still on your mouth.
Still on the mouth. Still on your tongue.
Still up in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
It does have a much more characteristic of a brown.
All right. Let's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
It's
got that nuttiness of a brown.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before.
Yeah. I mean, especially you can, you know, I would say it would be hard for me if these were all right at like 40 degrees, like right out of the fridge.
Yeah.
And blind taste test.
To tell the difference.
Between the three of these.
Yeah.
You know,
There's only two.
I'm saying like you add in Parabola.
Oh, yeah,
in the mix, or even the Anniversary Ale.
Yeah.
In there. I would go, I know it's one of those, but would I be able to identify it on first taste blindfolded?
Probably not.
I don't know if I could.
I don't know. Because maybe the Parabola.
Because they're all big.
But the Parabola is near and dear. You might just know it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But I also don't drink it every, you know, like that. Again, the problem that we run into with these particular beers is that they're so scarce.
Yeah.
Is that like these aren't everyday drinkers for us by any stretch of the imagination. We, you know, like I said, it's been a couple years since I busted out some of the older Parabola.
Yeah. The Pappy Parabola.
The Pappy Parabola. You know, I'm surprised that, you know, who is it? I thought there was a couple breweries who were working with the Buffalo guys from Buffalo Trace to age their stuff in old Pappy barrels. I can't remember right off the top of my head.
I couldn't imagine why they wouldn't. I mean, that just seems like A, delicious, and B, people would go nuts for that.
Well, it's interesting now, too, to see that, you know, the pairing of beers and wines and bourbons that are all kind of like co-mingling, and it's all this weird kind of like, you know, we're all kind of kissing cousins.
Yeah.
At this point, wine's getting aged in bourbon barrels. Bourbon barrels are getting aged in wine barrels.
Beers getting aged in both.
And things of that nature. And sometimes they'll have a beer in a bourbon barrel, and then they'll age something else in that barrel afterwards.
Yeah.
As well, so it's like it's this whole new world of just like cross pollinating to get these crazy flavors.
It's awesome. It's like I feel like it's like when a caveman picked up, you know, a mushroom and ate it and said, "I hope this works out."
Yeah,
you know, and then it did. And
maybe he died. Then it's like, oh, his buddy goes, "Oh yeah, probably shouldn't eat that one.
Not one.
Not that one.
But this one looks different enough." Yeah, but
give it a try.
Yeah, but you know, when it works out. So it's.
And I feel like beer takes to all that better than, you know, like I said, I've been on a big bourbon kick lately. You know, I got to show you my bourbon closet that I've recently become.
This is an extension from your office.
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
It's slowly working its way into my fiance's workout room. I'm like, we're just going to move. Eventually, this is no longer going to be a workout room.
Yeah. By the way, if you're going to break into Entercom Las Vegas, beeline for Jason Mahoney's office because.
Oh, no. I moved it all from the office back home.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, because I figure they're going to fire us anytime soon. So, you know, I'm like, I don't want, you know, it's going to be awkward when it takes me 10 trips from my office bringing bourbon bottles.
Can I use the promotions dolly, please? I know this
something along those lines. So I brought almost all, I've got like maybe 10 bottles left at the station.
For entertaining
purposes in the office. But I brought them all home. And so they're all like
in my
pantry now. And so like. It is getting ridiculous, but I've become, you know, I've been developing my bourbon palate over the last few years and seeing that, you know, the way that bourbon is developing and the way that they're doing some wines that are, they're aging those in bourbon barrels as well and the cross pollination. Nothing takes better than beer. beer to both of those particular things, like in wine barrels or in bourbon barrels. I feel like it really accents it. It really soaks it up more, because wine's a very definitive flavor and you know what that profile is. And then you might get a little bit of an accent. And bourbon is even harder because it's so potent to begin with that even when you're aging it in wine barrels, it takes on some of the characteristics. But when you do beer or certain types of beer in either of those barrels, it really becomes a part of the body, in a major way.
I think also, too, when you're, like, if you're out to dinner and you're having a great steak, you know, you don't necessarily just want to have, you know, a glass of bourbon, and a glass of water, you kind of want a little bit of both and be able to drink it. And so all of a sudden, it's a more drinkable, longer experience than, you know, just having a little tiny sip here and there. It's
the
like
kind of accent. You can have
an awesome bite of steak and then swig a beer and it's like delicious.
Well, tell me what was the, you know, because like I said at the beginning of the podcast that you've got the steak sauce and you've got what was the other one?
Barbecue sauce.
And you've got the barbecue sauce.
I made hot sauce too, but that met an unfortunate death in my kitchen when I was trying to pour it into something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Didn't work out. But it was too hot. I made it too hot.
Did you?
Too hot.
But what, so...
I did that with an IPA, though. The hot sauce.
You did that with an IPA. Yeah. So, and you made the steak sauce with the brown?
Uh-huh. And the barbecue.
Barbecue with the brown as well.
Yeah.
So, what are what are the plans? Are any other food-related items we're going to be seeing from this? Because somebody else messaged me on Instagram not too long ago, and they were talking about that they had ideas to make some steak sauces and barbecue sauces as well. And I'm like, you gotta talk to Pam.
Oh my, I'm telling you. So
and collaborate on this.
I did. I made also make pickles with IPA.
So what's the process of that? Like I don't understand pickling in general. Can you kind of walk me through it?
Well, this is not going to be very interesting for people.
I think it is. Like, but how do you pickle something with an IPA?
You basically substitute the IPA for water when you would make a brine.
Okay.
So it's the beer and vinegar.
Okay.
And then your sugar. And then you boil that. You make a brine. So you boil the alcohol off.
Okay.
But the flavor's still in there. Then you cut up your stuff. then you pour the brine over it.
Are you doing more chips or like spears?
I do both because I got an awesome
julienne.
The mandolin.
Slices and dices and makes thousands of julienne fries.
It makes a nice, you know. What is it? Not
chips?
No.
Perforated. Spears?
No, perforated. Like when it goes surrogated?
Serrated?
Serrated. Surrogated.
It's irrigated. It's irrigated pickles.
It's a surrogate cuke. Anyway.
We've been drinking.
Yeah. So you just put that in with like mustard seed and I do a bunch of garlic and dill, obviously. Yeah. And then you do I put red pepper flakes. I chop up red bell pepper. I go,
what about a whole, can you, and I know this is a dumb question, but I don't really know anything about cooking and pickling.
In life in general.
In life. I know about beer and booze and having a good time.
That's and ladies.
Kind of, that's to be determined. Can you put a whole pickle in there? Because I love when you go to Disneyland or you go to a not so nice gas station.
Yeah,
and you can get
a pickle in a pouch.
Pickle in a pouch, a hot pickle.
It's so good.
But does it take longer for it to absorb into the whole pickle because it's not cut open and porous?
Correct.
Okay.
I stab it with a fork.
Okay.
So it kind of gets in there faster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes, you can. But you have to get pickling cucumbers because regular cucumber the skin's too thin.
Okay.
And then it just turns into a floppy pickle.
I didn't realize that there were... Nobody wants a floppy
Nobody
pickle.
Nobody got time.
Ain't nobody got time
for a floppy pickle.
You need up in here.
You need a crunch. Crisp. A crunch.
If I bite into your pickle and it bends...
We got problems.
Screw you.
Yeah.
You're the worst. That's a bullshit pickle.
That's some shelf-stable pickling and no one got time for that.
Now, crunch, crisp, a snap.
A snap-a-lap.
If you had to go grocery store pickles, who are you going with?
Oh, you mean, okay, well, there's a brand called Bubby's, which is the best.
I've never, is that here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, they have at Sprouts. They have at Smith's.
Really?
But they're in the refrigerated part.
Okay.
Crisp? Crisp.
Bubby's,
they're the best.
I'm going to go get some right after this.
And Clausen, I go Clausen.
Clausen's my kind of go-to.
No Vlasic.
Vlasic's garbage.
You know what rhymes with Vlasic? Flaccid.
That's right. They will not be sponsoring this Beer for Breakfast podcast here in the future. All right, you are out of beer. I've still got a little bit of these two left. I feel like we should open up another beer, so we're going to take a pause here for 1 second and go get some more beer, and we'll be right back. We have returned through the magic of editing, and now we have a beer from a brewery that is near and dear to our hearts. And you, as you said, we would be remiss if we did not feature one of their beers on Beer for Breakfast today.
I think so, too.
The Modern Times City of the Stun. This is their just one of their year-round IPAs that they do, and pretty phenomenal.
So definitely one of my favorites.
I feel like this is a nice little palate cleanser because we got a couple other things that are kind of cooling down right now. Hopefully, we'll have enough time to get those going. But in the meantime,
a little City of the Sun never hurt no one.
That's right. I feel like that should be a Rage Against the Machine song.
Definitely should. It definitely should.
Oh, there we go. Man, that is two drastically different pours that we're dealing with. I've got about 3 inches of very looks like frothy, yeah, like off-white head on there, and you poured like a normal person, and so you've got about a half a finger there, but you know, like a golden yellow that we're looking at, a golden orange.
This is definitely Modern Times in general. They put out some of my favorite beers of all time.
They are my, you know, you look in my fridge, you know, in my real fridge,
yeah,
my indoor fridge, and that's what I have. I have stocked in there. I have Fruitlands. I've got City of the Sun. I've got a couple other ones. I've got the Nitro on Stout.
Uh-huh.
Their Stout. What is Black House?
Black House. I saw that at Total Wine today. I was going to get some.
The Nitro is really good as well.
Yeah. I only like a Stout on Nitro. I don't like any other.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a Nitro fan in general.
I'm not huge on Nitro, but the Black House Nitro on Stout, which is, I think it was the February release for those guys, February, January, and that one turned out really well as well.
I'm down with a stout. Have you read an IPA Nitro?
No, but I've had Cali Creamin' from
Mother
Earth.
That's a little different.
I didn't like it on. I don't like it on. I feel like it loses. The thing that makes the Cali Creamin' from Mother Earth Brewing.
It's like a cream soda.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be like
effervescent.
Yeah, carbonated, very carbonated.
Yeah,
which in a can it is, and even just kind of on tap it is as well. But when it's on nitro, it smooths it out too much, and it's not so much like a creamsicle anymore.
What do you think about the new trend of milkshake IPAs?
I'm kind of into it, but I think they're gimmicky.
Well, yeah, I mean it's like you're
throwing lactose into an IPA,
right?
Which is what makes it a quote unquote milkshake, right?
So right, exactly. So you go from the hazy to now the thick and hazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, just calm down.
I prefer a milkshake IPA as opposed to the brute IPAs. I'm not on board with that. That's not my jam yet.
IPAs to me shouldn't feel dry anyway.
Yeah. I like the juice.
Yeah.
You know, the juice is loose. We've got one of those from Victory, like Loose Juice or whatever it's called.
Yeah, he's in Summerlin.
We all know her. We went to high school with her. She's doing well now. But yeah, I'm with you. The dryness, maybe I just haven't come across the one that I like yet.
Yeah.
But I've tried quite a few that people are saying that these are great, and I'm not on that train yet. That's not something that I would actively seek out and want to spend my own money on.
And I'm fine with beers that have that like a thickness quality. Okay, so perfect example. When I was in LA this past time, we went to the Modern Times Dojo.
The Dankness Dojo
in LA. Awesome spot. If you're in Los Angeles, it's downtown LA. Worked out perfect. I was going to see a band, and the theater was literally on the same block. So it worked out great. We pulled up. I was like, what? So went in there. Awesome food. It's totally vegan restaurant. You know, and I'm a meat eater. But everything we had was just phenomenal.
Good. Yeah.
Phenomenal. I mean, who cares? If it tastes good, it was awesome.
It doesn't matter.
It was awesome. And again, great staff, awesome staff. And they poured me, I took a picture of it. I think I might have even sent it to you. But it was like this, it looked like a fruit smoothie. It was like a thick berry greatness. It was so good, dude. It's like the only thing I just wanted to drink the whole night. But I'm like, I have to try more stuff because I'm here. And another little, very small brewery there, but they do have brewing on site. Another kind of R&D type of thing. So I think that's, you know, it's like, People go to LA to become actresses and be discovered, and I think that's what these beers are doing.
They're going there to be discovered.
They go there to be discovered.
They do a good job of releasing them out. You know, I mean, that Sula was one of the releases. I can't remember if it's early this year or late last year. I got a little bit about that, but I feel like what Modern Times does very well is that they find fruits that are just like, you know, like guava. Like, yeah, most people aren't throwing a bunch of guava into a goes.
Or fruits that you have to Google.
Fruits that you have to Google fruits.
Google fruits.
Which I found sounds like an awesome thing. If you would have found it in your lunch in middle school, you would have been so happy with your mom. I'm like, oh God, I got some Google fruits.
Totally. 100%. Yo, you trying to trade me those Google fruits for my pizza?
What do you want for these Google fruits? I got you.
And then eventually it becomes a strain of weed in your adult life.
It's full circle.
Full circle.
Speaking of middle school, there's a place not too far from here. It's a pizza place. It's called Arnie's Pizza.
If you tell me they have rectangle pizza, we are going here.
They don't have rectangle pizza, but I swear to God, it's like middle school pizza done right. It's the whatever the sauce that they are using on this particular brand of pizza.
Right now.
We can go there after this and get a pizza, but it's like it is like middle school pizza. It's not like amazing pizza, but it's like really good middle school pizza. So it's kind of, you get that nostalgia feel for it.
1,000% down. So I went to, and your fiance can appreciate this. I went and sat in with my friend Jen, who's an elementary school music teacher.
Okay.
Because I, back in another life, was a teacher, and I thought maybe I'd like to go back to teaching again. And she said, well, come in and sit in with me. Answer is, no, I do not.
But it's been about 10, 15 years since you've been a teacher?
Yeah. So anyway, it's lunchtime, and it's so crazy because they can't talk at lunch because they don't have enough time. And so kids are talking and they don't eat. So they have silent time where you have to eat. It was super weird. And then I was like, ooh, if they have pizza, I'm going to get school pizza today.
Yeah.
And my friend looks at me, she goes, it's not the same. I said, what do you mean it's not the same? She goes, comes in a plastic pouch. I said, excuse me?
What?
Huh?
Is this a charter school or is this a public school?
Public school.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, these children, I wanted to go up to them and just caress the side of their face and say, you don't know. Poor pizza.
Like, our pizza was made on a giant pan, man.
Giant, dude. And cut into rectangles.
Yeah, cut into rectangles or, weird kind of triangles, but not really a triangle because it's not a geometric shape that they were making. So, it had a flavor. Then that's the thing. I don't know if this is just, a shared experience that everybody who's, between, 35 and 45, we experienced during the 80s and the 90s. We all had that lunchroom pizza. Yeah. And then occasionally, I don't know if your school did this because you're on the East Coast and I'm from the Midwest, but we had Mexican pizza.
Oh, no.
Which was the circle kind.
Oh, we didn't have that.
And it had spices. Oh, yeah. We didn't get that till middle school. But
we didn't have that.
Dave had that in South Carolina, but occasionally there would be Mexican pizza day, which was really special because it was exotic food. This is the pizza that they eat down in Mexico.
I remember.
Is what they told us.
Literally coming out here 15 years ago now, and being shocked how many avocados are consumed. And I was like, people eat this shit all the time.
I never ate an avocado before moving out west.
I had guacamole, but then
never. Even had guacamole.
I was like, I don't know about this.
I didn't even know what the hell an avocado was.
Tastes like paste. Now I'm down, as long as it's fresh.
I will eat the hell. I make bomb-ass guacamole.
Do you?
I do.
I need a good recipe because I only like it. When they do it tableside, I am down.
So I met this guy who's become a decent friend over the years. He makes his guacamole with mayonnaise.
Oh, no.
Or actually, not even mayonnaise, Miracle Whip.
No.
Why would you ever think about cutting something glorious like just guacamole? He does it to smooth it out, and I am accepting of most things and pretty much any lifestyle that you want to live, just as long as you're doing you. But if you make your guacamole with Miracle Whip, oh, hell no.
And don't force that on me.
That is an abomination of God.
That
is not how nature intended it to
be. The first time I had great guacamole, I was at my friend Jeff's house, and he grows all of his stuff in his garden. This guy's a master gardener. And literally, he went out and picked tomatoes and picked the onions. Everything was so super fresh. And I was like, well, holy shit, dude. If I'd known that it could be this good, I would have sucked my dick in the mashed potatoes.
That's right. That's right.
No, but I mean, anyway, whatever. But so there's this pizza. You may have had it because it doesn't exist on the West Coast. Trust me, I've exhausted the options. Called Elio's. It's a frozen pizza. They're rectangles. E-L-L-I-O-S.
Never come across.
Maybe
that.
Just one L. I can't remember. It tastes like middle school pizza. It's rectangle. You cook it in the toaster.
Oh, damn.
It is the shit. It is so good that when my friends from back east come out here, I'm trying to talk them into putting it on dry ice or maybe even just like cooking it and then wrapping it in foil and putting it in a cooler and bringing it to me.
Hell yeah.
Because I can't get enough of it. And you can't get it here. They won't ship it to you. Walmart won't ship it to you. Amazon won't
ship
it to you.
Is it thin crust?
It's like half an inch thick.
So like slightly thicker or maybe like the same consistency as New York style pizza?
A little thicker.
A little thicker?
A little, okay. Little breadier.
Okay.
It's so good, dude.
That sounds pretty phenomenal.
It's just cheese. Don't put anything else on it.
Yeah.
Just cheese pizza.
Is there anything better though than when you are stoned out of your mind than busting open some Tostino's party pizzas?
Oh my God. And you're like, how is this only $1? How is this only $1?
Are they still a dollar? It's been a minute since I've ordered a Tostino's party pizza.
Well, now they come in plastic wrap. There's no more boxes.
No more boxes? What do you mean? How do they come in plastic wrap?
It's genius, actually. Because it's like, you know how pizza boxes are space takers in a trash can?
Definitely,
They expand. Mm-hmm. They no business.
Okay.
This one, you just rip it open like you're a bag of chips, pull the pizza out, crumple it up, throw it away.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're not getting the freezer burn, though?
No.
Without the cardboard protection?
Nope. And I will tell you this, and every time I have a Tostino's party pizza afterwards, I go, these are horrible. Why did I even eat that?
Horrible heartburn.
But then you go, the next time you're at the store, you're like, I better get a couple of these just in case.
When you're stoned, it's pretty damn good. Same thing with anything Tostino's. Like, they should just go in. They should start their own strain of weed. Like, why? Like, you need to just, you know, get 360 on
but
this.
But you got to be real careful with those pizza rolls.
Oh, yeah.
They will
molten they will, lava.
They will just destroy your mouth for days when you're having that, like, the skin that's, like, coming off the top and roof of your
just
mouth.
Dangling.
Then you're like, with your tongue.
So, it's like a second little whatever the thing in the back.
Uvula.
Uvula. It's like a second one that's in the middle of your mouth now. Yes.
Like, and then you're like,
what's going on
here?
Or
it's, like, burned by your teeth, and you're like, oh, God, I can't even brush my teeth or something. Oh. First world problems, dude. First world problems.
These are the problems that we deal with on a regular basis.
This is why the terrorists hate us, just so you know.
Now, this is why America is the greatest country in the world.
And the fattest.
You know what? Back in the olden days, being fat was a sign of
wealth.
And, you know, I mean, if you look across the rest of the world, you know, we're
rich as shit.
Yeah. And fat as shit. But you know what? We are eating damn good and drinking damn good as well. Let's drink some of this City of the Sun. I don't, it's because this thing, the head finally went down on mine. That was a pretty surprising head for an IPA. How long it stuck around for.
Yeah.
It was like a good 3 or 4 minutes that it stuck around for, receded down into the body.
You still have some good lacing on
the top
too.
I mean, that's thick lacing around the top of this. The nose, just juicy and hoppy.
Mm. I just love it.
I mean, just smells good.
And Modern Times makes the best merch on planet Earth.
They do. You kind of changed my life a couple of months ago.
Well, thanks.
You came back from the Dankness Dojo.
Yep.
And you brought me home a Modern Times hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
And that became my favorite hoodie in the world.
It is now also, I bought one for myself, also my favorite
hoodie. It's fleece lined. So I did some research. On these hoodies from Modern Times, mm-hmm. You know, love it. I'm like, I got to own all of them. But the problem is they only have like one or two hoodies out at a time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I need more of these hoodies because if I'm not wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt, this is what I need to be living in during the wintertime. And I found out it was actually an American Apparel brand hoodie.
Oh, really?
Is what they use as their base.
So that's not a bad company anymore, right? They went through that phase
where
the guy was like, the owner was like a
creep.
Super creep.
Something. I think they ousted him.
Oh, they had to if they're still in business.
I believe they ousted that guy. But I did some research and found out it was a fleece-lined hoodie from American Apparel. And they cost, I think we paid, what'd you pay, like 35, 40 bucks, maybe?
I think it was like 50 bucks.
50 bucks?
Yeah.
Pricey. Pricey.
Do you enjoy it?
Oh, it's the best thing ever. It's my favorite hoodie.
My friend.
But you can get the fleece-lined hoodies from American Apparel. I think they're like $30 each. So I went
put
out,
a sticker on
which, it. which I'm wearing right now. I went out and bought like 7 different colored American Apparel fleece lined hoodies, and it has changed my winter game for the better. So it's only going to be these or Tommy Bahama shirts. Like once it warms up, like I think we're about a month away, maybe 2 months, not 2 months, but like maybe even 2 weeks away from going straight Tommy Bahama again.
Well, right now is the best time in Las Vegas. Now in October.
3 degrees. I mean, last week it snowed. That's an anomaly.
Yeah.
We're never going to, I mean, whatever. Hey, idiots, there's a difference between climate and weather, by the way. You know,
seriously.
And if you're this far into the podcast, you know the difference.
Right. Or you're incredibly stupid.
God, you're so stupid. You know, just because there's snow doesn't mean that global warming has stopped.
Oh my God. No, it means the exact opposite.
Yeah. The weather changes because of global warming. That's why we're seeing these crazy weather patterns happen all over. That's why we're seeing snow in Las Vegas.
Hurricanes, everything.
There's tornadoes happening in times that they normally don't happen.
Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
It is wild.
We're doomed, so drink up while you can.
We're not here. We might not be here for a long time, but we can certainly determine whether or not we're here while we're here. It's a good time or not.
Absolutely. The other thing too with that snow is I was running late for something that I could not be late for. And I walked downstairs and I forgot I hadn't parked my car under the carport thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, dude, I haven't had to take snow off my car in forever.
Being from the DC, Virginia area.
We have blizzards, you know? Yeah. So, and it was like, you would turn your car on, 15 minutes mm-hmm. before you left. So it would warm up and you could get your key in the
door. Yeah, the ice wouldn't melt on the glass and you could kind of scrape it off.
Or you'd have to take a kettle and pour it over your lock so you could open your door with your key.
Oh, yeah.
I did not miss that. But so I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I don't have time for this. And what do I have to take this off? My broom? I'm like, I don't have time. So I just looked at it. And I was like, I think my windshield wipers can handle this. And I'm just going to be that asshole who just shoots snow off the back of their car. And I'm up towards Mount Charleston.
Yeah, like, it got that's
it. It was no joke. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, here we go. The windshield wipers nailed it. And the whole way back, I'm just people behind me must have been like, you bitch. It was just going big chunks.
I mean, it was fluffy snow. It's not like it's chunks of ice that's flying out there. I know a lot of people lost their minds here in Las Vegas over the snow. But like,
I love seeing it.
Yes, because you know why? Because it was gone 24 hours later.
Done and done.
And on top of that, it's not, you're not dealing with a serious problem when the snow doesn't stick to the roads.
No.
Like, it's like, it's sticking on my plants in the front yard and the rocks, but it's not sticking to the roads and the asphalt. So it's like, this isn't going to be Snowmageddon 2013 like they saw down in Atlanta like 5 years ago where...
The
I don't know
city
why
shut down.
The whole city shut down and every car caught on fire. Right. You know, why were there like 50 cars that caught on fire because of the snow? I still cannot wrap my head around why that happened. But that's not what we were dealing with here.
No, not at all. And a lot of my friends from the Midwest and from the East Coast are like, F snow, man, this isn't pretty. You know, you have to dig your way out of the stuff. I did that for 15, 20 years of my life. It's like, yeah, but guess what? My friend who has a 5-year-old who has never experienced lost her mind.
Yeah.
Like was outside like, this is the greatest thing. Like I'm in a Disney movie.
Oh yeah.
Like she,
Frozen's happening in
she
front of me.
She was loving it. And I'm like, you can't take that. For, I mean, that's like.
You know, the awesome part of snow is the initial snowfall.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful.
And quiet.
It's quiet. Like you can just sit there and like listen to hearing it falling and hitting the trees and the ground around you. The shitty part of snow is like when it's been on the road for a week
and it's filthy,
brown and it's nasty as hell and it's like and it freezes over like where it becomes like
crusty
this
and hard.
It's like an old sock that you
and you can't make snowballs because you have to bust your fist through like the ice crust.
That is the crappy part. We got nothing but the good part of snow.
It was all
the best part, and now a week later it's 75 degrees outside.
I remember grocery stores where there would be like a 4 parking space mound around each light post that was just black and filthy,
nasty.
Oh. And then it would stick around for months until there was just like this little sad patch left where you're just like, oh, it must be spring.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't snow again, but yes.
But then it'll be like
it's black
middle of March and it's like a blizzard.
I was in Minneapolis a few years back in May, like middle to late May, and actually up in Tahoe too in May, and like late May, and it snowed. It was like, that is not cool. Like, that is not cool at all.
No.
What we were dealing with is something else. And, you know, when we grew up, like, did your parents drive you to school, or did you have to go to a bus?
I bused it until I was a freshman in high school, and then my
friends took friend's you?
Older brother,
yeah.
who was a senior, used to drive us, but when we pulled into the parking lot, we had to duck down in the back of the car because he didn't want people to know he's driving freshmen.
That's, you know, I think that's a fair that's a fair trade-off for that, but like same kind of similar situation. I walked to school in elementary school. Middle school was all bus,
uh-huh.
and freshman year of high school was bus, and then got friends to take you, and even later on in there, they got to take it. But we spent a lot of time like at that bus stop middle school, waiting out there with our starter jackets and just like freezing your ass off. Like, no garages, none of that stuff.
Oh, no. So this is the best. So where my bus picked us up in junior high, it used to come down this hill.
Yeah.
Right? And our bus stop was at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, no.
So our bus drive. But so this was in a neighborhood, like, it was kind of the entrance to the neighborhood. So it had this, like, giant boulder there that had, like, the name of the neighborhood on it and everything. And so she was like, okay, here's what I need you to do. Starting
Strawberry Estates. Right. It's always something estates or...
Right, exactly. Farms.
Yeah, so, farms. Meadows.
Yeah. So she goes, okay, starting tomorrow, here's what I need you to do. When I come down the hill, I need you all to hide behind that rock. Okay, just in case. And we were like, okay, like this rock is going to save us from a 20-ton or however fucking heavy buses are. And we were like, all right, so we'd see it coming. We're like, get me on the rock. Get me on the rock and like huddle me on the rock until it stopped. And then we'd get out and get on the bus.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It was like crazy. And we used to pay this dude, Rusty West, because we had a cul-de-sac. And so all the snow would get pushed up, you know, at the edge of the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like Fort Making USA.
Unbelievable.
So we would obviously have rival gangs that would snowball across.
Oh, yeah.
We used to pay this kid 10 cents to go out and take all the hits while we gathered up more snow to make snowballs. We all paid him 10 cents. That dude made like about $5 by the end of the day, dude, but just got pelted with snowballs.
And he's laughing he was living large, going home, getting Dr. Pepper and Funyuns.
Dude, he was living, a big fat dude, too.
Living a life.
He fell on my ankle in elementary school and sprained it when we were playing Red Rover.
Oh, no.
Not true.
Which, by the way, Red Rover is a violent ass game. Like, I remember like clotheslining people playing.
Oh my God, dude!
Like, because isn't that the one where you try to like break through? Yeah, like, you hold your hands.
It's the arm breaking game.
Yeah, yeah. When they try to break through, you raise your hand.
So they shoot.
So they either try to go under or you clothesline them right in the neck.
Because you're looking at your partner. Are we strong enough to take this one? Yeah, dude, we got this one. Bam! And the teacher's like, good job, kids.
Don't think that one's played in schools anymore.
Think so.
We were talking about this not too long ago. I don't even know if kickball are you still allowed to play kickball?
Because, I think people play kickball.
Because, I remember, we always would aim for the head when you were trying to throw somebody out.
Oh, you're talking about kickball or are you talking about dodgeball?
No, kickball because it's like baseball.
Yeah.
Same, you know, there's a pitcher and there's people.
I love kickball.
Yeah, but to get somebody out, you had to throw
them. Yeah, you had to throw them at the head.
Yeah.
Always.
Because if you throw it at the feet, they jump over the feet, but the head can only move so much.
Right.
So that's why they got me wondering, is kickball still a thing in elementary school?
With yes.
I don't know.
Ask Erin.
I will. I'll ask her and see if it goes on at her school. But in my elementary school, we had a baseball field,
uh-huh.
but we wouldn't play on it because it was like all bumpy and crap. Right, and it wasn't like a good one. It was just like, here's like a backstop and some dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we would always play kickball on the asphalt.
Oh no.
And that was because you get a much better roll, better pitch.
What? In hindsight, I think we did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you would fall on the asphalt, it was game over. Like your week is ruined from playing kickball at that point.
I feel like asphalt has kicked my ass so many times in my life.
Asphalt always wins. That's why it should be kick asphalt. Because it is going to mess you up if you fall on it.
Kick asphalt. I love it. I love it. All right, this beer.
Yes, let's get into the City of the Sun. So we are looking at 60 IBUs on this particular IPA. And what is the ABV? How is this 7.6%? So we're taking it easy again.
Basically cut it in half.
Yeah, so we've gone from a 13.5 to a 17.6. This thing drinks real easy.
This
it's dangerous.
This beer, to me, tastes like there's a... lots of citrus, obviously.
Very juicy.
Very juicy. Like, it, there's a lime kind of taste to it. That's what I pick up. Like,
really?
I do. Like, it's that kind of zing that a lime, not a lemon, but like a lime that's a little greener tasting, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, because you get the juiciness, but it's not like a real big sweetness, but it's not sour either.
No.
Because if you feel the back of your tongue, you feel that those like kind of sour receptors firing off, and then you get the pine in there on the sides and everything else.
This is a pool beer.
Oh yeah,
this is, but it's a it's 7-point a, whatever
it's a dangerous
crusher.
Pool beer. Yeah, I mean, like, this is, you know, you bring a 4-pack of this and you should be good for the day.
You're out of your mind. The day,
maybe. I mean,
like, an hour.
Finish 4 of these in an hour, I'm gonna be drowning.
No, maybe like a couple hours, but I'll tell you, one of the best things that happened to me last summer is I had some time off.
Okay.
And so my friend went out of town.
A little bit of sabbatical going on.
Had a sabbatical.
Okay.
And he and his wife and their daughter went to Disneyland for like a 4-day thing. And they said, hey, do you mind watching our house, taking care of the dog and the cat? I said, absolutely. Didn't hurt that they have the baddest ass pool of all time.
Hell yeah.
And so literally, I'm pretty sure I thought the neighbors, there was a dead person in my friend's pool, because I was just like floating with no raft, just like floating, but just like holding a beer like up above the water. Just like, and I'm listening to the pool pump underneath the water. I'm like, I'm going to fall asleep and drown. I'm going to fall asleep and drown. But I was drinking City of the Suns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. And then it was like, my buddy would call me up and, what are you doing? I'm like, come over to my new house with my new pool. And then it was like, it turned into straight up pool party. And
I feel like that is the way that it could be enjoyed. Like, if you're like, you know, in a confined,
controlled pool, environment,
controlled environment, maybe have a floaty, you know, just in case
they need to make adult arm floaties.
Yes. Or, you know, I just saw this, you know, cause all the stupid Instagram models with their pieces of pizza and the swans and the donuts. But I did see one the other day that I'm going to have to get.
What?
They have a wiener dog floaty now.
Oh, you have to get it.
I got
to
get it.
My friend has the poop emoji one, but it's very hard to get off.
We've got a cherry. We bought it at Target because we went down to some wash in Arizona last summer. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a good time, except for the fact that, like, you had to walk.
You do the slide rock?
Not a slide rock, but it was like, we had to walk like over all this gravel, and it was like a half mile. And then when we were there, the stupid park ranger rolled up, and like, nobody's like getting out of control or anything. And we're just chilling. Like, our group is like super chilling, 'cause you know, we're there, and there's a child with us as well. And so we're all just chilling, and pregnant woman and things of that nature. And the guy's like, you guys have beer? And then he's like hassling us over this. It's like, dude, I'm fucking 37 years old.
Right.
Get off my ass. Yeah. Like,
yes, we have Beers America, and this is a fucking lake.
Yeah. It's like, you can't have beers out here. And like, you know, like, made one of our friends leave.
No way.
Like, you can pour out all the beers, or he can take them and leave. And we're just like, you dick.
Dude, we had a park
ranger. Like, you tiny dick motherfucker. Like, what are you, like, the kind of, like, I get it that your life sucks for whatever reason, but why are you trying to ruin everybody else's
time? It's not
time?
Like, you guys are being loud or crazy.
No. I mean, there was a couple other groups there, and they were all cool. It was, like, a bunch of, like, Cirque performers or something that who had brought, like, this, like, Cirque performing, like, you know.
Trapeze?
Like, not, like, so much a trapeze, but it was, like, almost looked like a big, giant teepee, but then they had, like, what are those things called? It looks like curtains that are coming off of it. Ribbons. You know, the ribbon dancing chicks. What I'm talking about.
Silks.
Yeah. But they were doing that, and they were, like, doing backflips, and, like, they were, like, these are, like, very skilled athletes
who are doing all this.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting over there on a cherry floaty drinking a...
I'd be walking to the lake going, ew, what's in here? Ew.
But then the guy came over and just, like, ruined, you know. So, but Dave was leaving anyway. Because, you know, I got the kid and stuff. But, like, we hid a bunch of the other beers.
You're, like, 19 years old hiding beers.
Yeah, but I'm like, I am 37 years old. I'm not acting like an asshole.
Listen, just park get rangers, off. We had a park ranger pull a gun on us on prom.
What?
Yeah. We went to a park and we were drinking.
What is the matter with that guy?
I don't know. He pulled a gun on us and we were like, whoa, dude. We're all dressed
chill,
in our prom
chill
stuff.
Out, man.
Yeah, we're in, like, this park. You know, it was right by where the prom was. And we were like, all right, yep, we're out.
So this was a pretty prominent wash that we went to. It's just across Las Vegas, you know, the Nevada-Arizona border. I forget exactly what it's called, but my fiance, she found a new one with her dad because he loves to go do these sorts of things.
Right.
And found one that's like super isolated. There's no way that like a park Perfect. Ranger is ever going to roll out there. So I think that's what we're, but the only thing is you got to have kind of like a SUV off-road-ish vehicle
yeah.
to get down there, which kind of makes it a pain in the ass.
Listen, I got a 2016 Rogue out there. I mean, it's ready to party.
Is it all-wheel drive?
No way.
It might be able to make it. I mean, it's got some ground clearance.
It's front wheel.
It's front wheel. It might be able to make some, you know.
We'll at least 1.5 feet off the ground.
We'll rent a truck.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
There you go.
Back it up to the back. But yeah, the City of the Sun, this IPA is, I mean, I would say almost a quintessential, like kind
a core,
of, because it's
core.
Not super hazy, but it's hazy enough.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like this is kind of that, like one that bridges. So it's like this is definitely a beer that if you have not had a chance to get out and try it. And this one was brewed. Today's date is what? March 5th. 2019, and we're looking at it was brewed on November 28th. So, I mean, we're still in that like 3-4 month range.
Good
but
for
on,
an IPA.
But on the end of that,
yeah.
Definitely on the end of that run, that,
still tastes
and
great.
It still tastes great. You know, the fact that like, you know, you don't necessarily have to get this within the 60 days.
I think that this is a great intro IPA. If you've never, you know, had
an
IPA.
It's not super hoppy, but it has hops. So,
for sure. I mean, I taste the hops quite a bit, but it's. Yeah. It's not the, it's, I wonder, what do they brew this with? Because it's not a very.
They have four different ones, the Mosaic.
Okay, so I think.
Three different ones. Some experimental hop and I don't know how to say that other one.
I don't know.
I don't know how to say that word.
I don't either. But the Mosaic hops is nice too because it's, you know, it's not that.
Mosaic is like probably. It's a very juicy hop.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at the I don't know if you tried it, the Belching Beaver Mosaic IPA.
I haven't had that one yet.
It's just an avalanche of Mosaic hops that they, I think it's, you know, and it is super juicy, which I wasn't expecting a whole lot from a Belching Beaver
yeah.
IPA, especially. But the way that they put their Mosaic release out, it turned out to be a really, really, really good IPA overall. It was very juicy, very refreshing. And if you ever have a chance to see that, pick some up. It's not bad, and like I said, you know, you get the peanut butter milk stout, which is kind of gimmicky. I would say
it's pretty good though.
It's good, but yeah. I would say it's a gimmicky beer
sure.
to kind of lure people into that brand. But it does a good job, and then the Mosaic IPA has done a fantastic job.
I think the nose on this as it warms is not my favorite.
Yeah,
and I think for people who might taste this for the first time,
it smells hoppier than it is.
Yes,
yeah.
That you might be off put by the nose, but get past it. Breathe through your mouth, but it's Once it tastes, it's much different.
It is a refreshing, you know, I would say like the one that it kind of, you know, it's like a kissing cousin of is the Spaceways. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Which is all the Nelson hop beer,
yep.
You know, which is a weird hop, but I like it.
Me
and
too.
The way, you know, it's just weird and funky, you know, so I would say this is kind of like the, that's like the goth version, and this is like the preppy version of that. If you
this
were
is the Blaine.
Yeah, this is the Chad.
Yeah.
If you're going to high school with these beers.
Right. This is Chad. This is
and
Chad.
that's the Steven, but yeah. Spelled with a like an extra P.
Yeah, two H's and, two a, H- and a Y.
And a Y, whatever. But, you know, I've still yet to come across a Modern Times beer that I don't like.
Me too. Absolutely. There hasn't been one. And I think that's...
And we've had probably 100 at this point.
Well, I mean, the thing that I love about this brewery too is they're constantly putting out a new product.
Yeah.
Are they in limited releases? Yes. Does that make it even more awesome? Yes. I mean, but you don't have to go like crazy trying to find it. You'll always like, if you're out and about and you see it, and the other thing is obviously they have their classic, you know, script
yeah.
label. But if you see the coolest label you've ever seen, guaranteed it's Modern Times.
Without a doubt. You and I, if you're not following Modern Times on Instagram,
yeah,
do it because
I like every single thing they put up there.
Yeah. You and I are constantly tagging each other in those posts. It's like, oh my God, look at how awesome this beer looks. The design team that they have over at Modern Times.
Unbelievable.
Just knocks it out of the park every single time.
At least 4 times a month, I'll just tag you in and be like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yep. And they do a great job. Plus, like you said, the their year round releases like City of the Sun, Orderville, Fruitlands. You know, the beers that the regular Black House that they put out, just great beers.
How long have we been talking about going down there?
A couple of years now.
You know,
like 2 years.
It's like literally 4.5 hours away.
Yeah, I'm down in Southern California like 3 times a month.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
You want to go to Disney with us later on this month?
Okay, listen. Now you know how I feel. What I've said, I don't understand. You're going to like this, okay?
What's that?
Well, I do understand that you guys love it.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've, for the longest time, have been like, I don't understand how adults like Disneyland without a kid.
Okay.
But.
It's better without a kid.
Okay, so I asked our friend and mentor, Mark Isquith.
he's a gentleman who we've looked to for years to advice.
To learn what not to do.
Yeah.
But.
He leads by example.
This is his review of Disneyland. When I brought this up, he said, it's great as an adult.
Yeah.
I said, why? He goes, it's the happiest place on earth. He goes, you sit on a bench, you look around, you eat a hot dog, maybe a bowl of something.
Churro.
He literally said, maybe a bowl of something. And it's the best. And I said, that's your review of Disneyland. You sit on a bench, you eat a hot dog, and maybe a bowl of something. He goes, yeah, it's great. I was like, okay.
The food is, the snacks there, there's no better snacking place on the planet than Disneyland. There's always something new there. And here's the thing about kids. Like, if you're going with adults, like, Aaron and I, we don't have any kids yet, but we're, you know, we're talking about having, we actually just booked another Disney cruise today.
Like you're going to have a baby.
We're 2020. but we are, you know, we've talked about it. Like, when we've been annual pass holders for like 3 years now. And if we have a kid, the kid is not going to come with us until the kid
appreciates it,
can appreciate it and rage.
Oh, kids, 1,000%.
Like you can't be a little bitch and not be able to keep up with us. Like, that's the thing. Like, that. Oh, my feet hurt. Like, parents make the biggest mistakes in the world by, like, letting their kids wear some flip-flops going to Disneyland. No, you need to be wearing athletic shoes that are going to keep your feet from hurting.
I feel like
that. And that, I feel like half the, because the kids start crying because we see it every time we're down there and we laugh.
Yeah.
We love watching a kid melt down.
So basically your kid's going to go to Disneyland when he's 9.
When he's ready or she's ready.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to be prepared. There are going to be no tantrums. Because the moment you start, you get out of line, we're going back. But you have to be able to, like, we are going for an 8-hour stretch.
They need to have, like, kid Disney jail, where you put your kid in Disney jail, but you still get to rage.
Yeah. But that's the thing, as an adult, like, you don't have anything to worry about. Like, we are out doing
what
we want.
They have beer now, too, right?
So here's how it's broken down. California Adventure has a ton of beer.
Right.
There's beer everywhere over at California Adventure. And they do, like, there's even like the
I feel like I
the
would
food,
like
the Food and Wine Festival that's coming out. They've got like flights of beer that you're able to do as well.
Like, I'd be down with California Adventure, I think.
It's hard to say because I like them each for different reasons. I love Disneyland because the nostalgia, you know, all the old rides, the things that come along with that. But then California Adventure has my favorite rides, you know, like I go
fast roller coasters and
the
stuff.
Fast, like. You have the new Incredicoaster, which used to be California Screaming.
Where's the Star Wars thing going to be? I want to do
that. Is going to be at the Disneyland side. But here's the interesting part about that. So I guess in Walt's will or something along those, they said that there can never be booze at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
But the new Star Wars world is outside that original footprint that existed.
Loophole.
Yes. So there's going to be a cantina at the new Star Wars world, but you're not going to be able to, you can drink it inside the cantina, but you're not going to be able to bring it outside. So
that's what they think.
That's just what that's what they're saying right now. But if you go over to California Adventure, you got like Carl Strauss, which is a San Diego staple down there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see, I mean, they have a bunch of pretty decent beers down there. You know, one of our favorite things is like, if we have other adult friends who we run into down there, it's like, hey, let's go grab some beers. And we just hang out in the wharf area and drink a bunch of beers and shoot the breeze. And then they have wine and no, I don't know if they have hard, I don't think they have hard liquor.
At that point, you really don't need
anywhere.
It.
I don't think there's margaritas or anything of that, but you've got wine and beer, which is fine for people like us. But, you know, you can have a, a pretty good time overall there. And especially like if you don't have kids to worry about, like you don't have to like worry about them complaining and all that stuff. But that's why we are going to say like, hey, you gotta be able to step it up. Before
and hang with mom and dad.
No strollers. There's no strollers up in this son of a, because there people with strollers, assholes.
Plus, you're burdened with a stroller the whole time.
Yeah, you gotta like get the stroller. Like it's miserable. I talked to people. Who was it? A guy I know, who I work with, who is like, how do you go to Disneyland as often as you do? He's like, I went with my kids to Disney World when they were like 12 and it was a miserable time. I'm like, as adults, we know what we're getting into. We can move as fast as we want to. We have a game plan.
It's like having a friend, and this is maybe more of a female thing than a male thing, but it's like having a friend that you shop very well with.
Yes.
And you go into a store and you can survey and you go, we're out.
Yeah.
We're out.
That's what we do.
My father was at the opening day of Disneyland.
Like the original opening day, like in what, the 60s or whatever it was?
When he 50s, was a 60s? Kid. It was the 50s, I believe. Yeah, he was born in 43.
So probably in the 50s?
Yeah, so he was like, he was a kid.
A quarter to get in?
Yeah, he was a kid, and he was there on opening day, and when they have like the big picture of opening day, you can see my little dad.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yep. Interesting fact about my dad, too. He was born during a blackout in Los Angeles in World War II.
That is, well, good on those doctors.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
We think he's out.
somebody light a candle.
Yeah. Someone.
That's crazy.
Crazy, right? But yeah, he was there opening day.
That is, I mean, wild.
Yeah.
Should take him back.
I don't think he'd want to go.
No, probably not.
No, he likes to, he's old now. He travels to the Maldives and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do the rich person version of Disney.
That's the only way I kind of would want to do it, but I'm not a rich person.
You know how much it is, though? It's insane.
Well, I would pay any amount not to wait in line.
So there's no, like, you can't not wait in line. You got to wait in, like, you get, like, the unlimited fast pass.
They tell you what time to get there, right?
Well, there's that, but no, but you can just go to anything at any time if you have a guide.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough, there's a radio buddy of mine. Who's down in LA, who's a member of Club 33.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
And he's friends with other Club 33 members who are like just people who are, he's rich, but these people are like super rich.
It's like they have like a special handshake and shit. Like you just go,
kind of something like that. And, you know, because it's like 50 grand to join.
That's crazy.
To join. And then there's like yearly dues. It's wild. But he's not a drinker. He doesn't have any hobbies. Like he loves Disney and his kids love it too. So that's why he decided to do it. He's like, I make a boatload of money and I don't spend my money on anything. So like I can afford to do something like this.
Yeah.
Plus, you know,
I don't know, dude, for 50 grand a year.
It's not 50 grand a year. It's 50 grand to join. You have to be, I think you have to be approved. It might even be more than 50 to grand. It's like, maybe it's like 50 to 70, somewhere in there, but you have to be approved by the other, like a member has to suggest that.
Like a co-op in New York.
Kind of. You have to be approved to get in, and then it's, you know, maybe $10,000 a year or something along those lines. I don't know exactly what it is, but I just know that he got in, he's with these other rich guys, and they're having a day, and, you know, we just were texting randomly. I saw that he was there. I'm like, yo, man, hey, we're down here at Disney as well.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, come meet up with us. And so I go and I meet up with them. And
you went to the other side, huh?
And
you went to Rich side?
I went, all these people, like there's, I think you could have 10 people in your group. And so there was 8 with them. And so we could just kind of, we could just kind of glom on to their group of people, and they're all stupid rich. And we're, you know, we are not, you know, we are normal people. And so he had a guide, and the guide, I believe, is something like, it's either $600 or $800 an hour with an 8-hour minimum.
What?
Yeah, so I think it's like $5,000 that you have to like shell out to be able to get this guide who will.
And obviously you tip that guy. That's the move.
And then you tip the dude as well, but he takes you to all the different rides and things like that. But it's like an instant guaranteed fast pass, and he can do like get you guaranteed seating and all this other stuff. But like there's places.
That's got to be the easiest gig on planet Earth.
Well, but you're dealing with stupid rich people.
Right. Well, that's true.
Which is the problem. Like, hey, I tipped the guy. Like, I had $100.
You know, I've dealt with difficult people for 15 years.
And the guy was great. You know, like, he was great. I slid him $100 because he was cool as hell. And no, like the other people were kind of talking to him, yeah, but they've done this a lot before, so right, it wasn't like super special to them. Whereas we're just like, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Super Disney boner.
But we're in this, like, we went to a couple places. We didn't go to Club 33, but there's a couple other places where, like, the rich people go. And they're like, well, we'll just go here and drink for a while. And it's, like, this fancy area where no cell phones are allowed.
Oh, really?
And it was like you get to see the other side for a minute, which we liked. But we were like, we kind of like how we do it. Like, where we're just like, we're moving constantly. Yeah. And very little, like, time is being wasted.
Yeah.
So it was something interesting. Like, if I ever became, like, a millionaire and my kids loved it, I would maybe do it. But it's you know.
Because it's not going to last. You're not going to do it forever.
Yeah.
I would not spend $70,000 to do shit at Disneyland. Love, Pam.
Love, Pam. Until you get out there and you get to see the other side, and you
realize $70,000.
Actually, you know what? They had hard liquor at that this little speakeasy that we went to.
I feel like
now that I remember, like they brought us like they're bringing by hors d'oeuvres and like all this other like fancy crap, and then they actually did have because I had an old fashioned in there.
No, I feel like I'm not gonna worry about it. I think I'm just gonna go straight edible.
Yeah,
maybe be too much.
I don't know, man. Like edibles just kind of screw with me.
Well, yeah, me too. But you have to, like, now that I've learned, I haven't smoked weed in almost a year.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me.
That's a good long while.
Sure is. Needless to say, my drinking has quadrupled.
Slightly, a couple more calories, but you know what?
Oh, my God.
It's okay. Well, you know what? We are about an hour and a half into this podcast, and I feel like this is a good inaugural run for our new Beer for Breakfast Studios. I appreciate you joining me here today, Pam.
Oh, I love it.
We will be revisiting the studio here not too long. We'll bring back some old friends, like our old friend Matt Alexander, and
bring some
other guests in here. But the Beer for Breakfast Studio is up and running. We appreciate you guys for sticking with us and listening and supporting the Beer for Breakfast podcast. So thank you guys, and have a great day. This has been another Beer for Breakfast podcast.